To the Dietitian Values Podcast, a space for conversations that go beyond lip speak, challenge the status quo, and hopefully create a space where we can learn and unlearn in connection and community. Join me, Laura Jean, accredited practicing dietitian, as I brain dump my thoughts, chat with insightful guests, and create a space where we'll probably end up with more questions than answers, but also a space for encouraging and inspiring accountable action. Let's dive in.
Hello, hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the Dietitian Values Podcast. Now, as promised on a recent IG Live, I'm going to do an episode today about rest, what rest is, perhaps that might lead into what rest isn't, some types of rest, and ways to rest. So we're going to get a little bit practical in some ways and talk rest. Now, where I promised it, just a quick kind of heads up or tangent, is I have been for the last couple of months now doing a weekly reflection question. So, you know, it even says in like the intro to the podcast, this is a space where we'll probably end up with more questions than answers. Because my space, or the space that I like to hold and the conversations I like to have, is around getting curious and connecting to ourselves and our own values, you connecting to you and your values, not my values. I'm happy to share my experience with values, of course, and not this is what you should do, or this is what I think you do, or these are the five steps you must kind of follow. The other thing is that this kind of work is really reflective and really introspective, and I wanted to hold space for that. So all that to say, I have been doing a weekly reflection question. Now, I do an IG Live on a Monday in Australian time, and put up the question and just sort of talk and wrap a few more words around it, and then I send out an email to my newsletter / humans who consent to me being in their inbox on a semi-regular basis. Currently it's been weekly, so that's pretty regular, to share that with them, as well as some further resources. So if you are interested in the reflection question, the weekly reflection question, I really envisage it as a space to grounding, and particularly as a kind of, I suppose, a question or a grounding point for your values. Because when we do the values work, there's just so many places we can apply it, so many spaces we can get curious and scratch away at the surface and peel back the onion layers. And I thought that offering up a question to kind of anchor to or ground in or kind of come back to as a bit of a touch point could be supportive. So I also thought that it could, over time, create a little bit of a resource kind of library, or even for yourself, a little collection of reflection points, so it could be used collectively as well. So I've been doing that. So if you want access to that, of course, follow along on Instagram, and I put that each week, the live, or jump on the email list, consent to my presence in your email if you wish. I'll put that link in the show notes so you can sign up to that if that feels supportive, and I send that reflection question out. So it wasn't this past week, the week before, because I meant to do this last week, but then I came up with another podcast idea around ways to practically humanize your business right now and humanize your marketing. So if you're interested in that, go back an episode after you've listened to this one. And so I just pushed this back a week. So anyway, I want to talk a little bit about rest. The question I was asking, or reflection question, or space to ground into, was to get curious about your relationship with rest. There's lots of things out there about what rest is or isn't. You might have your own ideas around rest, around what has to precede rest, about perhaps permission, earning, deserving, any kind of adjectives such as that around rest and resting. There's some good little like discourse, I suppose, or like little like promotions of rest for being other things. And so I just wanted to talk a little bit about rest, how I kind of see it, or what I see, the kind of way I'm hoping to relate to rest myself, and offer up as a lens to relate to rest through for you as well, if you would like it. But also talk about different types of rest, because I think this is one that can support that reframing of our relationship with rest, that it's not necessarily just sleeping. So rest in its basic form, or most basic, is a human need. Not basic as in like some sort of hierarchy, but like if we get back down to the root of it, the radical, rest is a human need. It's a physiological requirement as well, of course, but it is more than that. Similar to food. Food is a human need and a physiological requirement, but food is so much more than that. It's culture, it's connection, etc. Rest is so much more than that. It's regenerative. It's also can be connecting to self, connecting to nature, connecting to community. Rest is sometimes a space to hear ourselves, to hear our body, to hear what wisdom we might have or what wisdom nature and the world around us have. So at the, if we whittle it right down, if we go right down to the what's the word? Can't think of it. But anyway, rest is a human need. So we need rest. You need rest. Similar to food, you need to rest. It's a physiological requirement. If you do not rest, you will die. That's not really funny. But that's like one of those weird kind of laugh chuckles. But anyway, rest is a physiological requirement. There's a reason it's used in inhumane practices. There's a reason, you know, that it is something that has been positioned within the systems we're part of, capitalism, etc., as another kind of thing. If you think about all of the human needs, and particularly physiological needs and requirements of humans, and then you run it through the system, the cultural values of the systems we're part of, you will see human needs being co-opted and commodified. So rest, a human need, a physiological requirement. Capitalism, the systems we're part of, tell us we need to earn it, tell us that if we do rest, it's in aid of being more productive, being more creative, being able to recharge so you can get back up and do things, that you can only rest when you've done X, Y, Z, or for some, you know, resters for the wicked? I don't know why that pops into my head, but that must be like a little cultural, I think that's more of religious, perhaps my Catholic upbringing coming through. So like there's all those kind of pieces. If you think about food, you know, food's a human need, a physiological requirement. And we have a whole like arm of supremacy culture, diet culture that tells us all of these things that food is, isn't, and how we, you know, the hoops we need to run through to jump through to relate to it. Housing, shelter, if we think about that, and the role that being unhoused, how that, the role that plays. So we can look at our human needs, our physiological requirements, and see, I mean, and that's even before we get to other human needs like connection and being valued and community and safety and all those pieces, how they've been co-opted. I mean, safety is a physiological requirement as well, I would argue, but not really here to argue. That's what I have around it. That's what I have and hold also has been co-opted and commodified. So most of our human needs have been co-opted and commodified by the systems we're part of. And so when we are peeling back those layers, if you've done it with food for yourself and you do it within the work, I'd really encourage you to broaden out your ideas or broaden out that same lens, that same critical analysis on these other physiological needs. And we'll start with rest today. I'll put in the show notes, as I said, I'll link to my newsletter if you want the, I'm saying, repeating this because I forgot to write that down and I'm just reminding myself to write it down now. And there's also this good needs inventory from the Nonviolent Communication Organization, which I find helpful because it really broadens out needs. It doesn't create a hierarchy like old bloody culturally appropriative Maslow and his bloody hierarchy. Don't get me started on Maslow. But yeah, so there's a good resource to start looking at that if you want to run this lens, that same lens that you run over food and the diet culture stuff over some of your other physiological and human needs, core human needs. Okay, so rest is more than a human need, and at its core, it's a physiological requirement, and it's so much more than that. I love the NAP Ministry, their work. Tricia, I can't remember their surname off the top of my head. Come think was I think it's heresy. Anyway, blah blah blah. Sorry, not blah blah blah. I'll put a link to the NAP Ministry in the show notes. I love their work and what they talk about rest being a form of resistance. Not that we have to rest to resist, but that in our resting we can find a way to resist as a tool for that. And how we can think of rest as a way we challenge the status quo. A way that we model for others, like giving permission almost to, by going first around rest, how rest can be a way you actually act into your values. So rest as I say, at its most, at its core, is a human, core human need and a physiological requirement. And it can also be a tool for other things. Where we want to be mindful, or I suppose, yeah, running that critical analysis over it, is what are the what is the relationships we have with rest, and where are we perhaps running it through, or presenting it to ourselves, or even presenting it in our actions through the values of our culture as opposed to our own. And so this is where our own values-based lens is really important, and where we can kind of get really critical or aware, or, you know, peeling back those onion layers of those values layers that we might have from our family of origin, from school, from education institutions, social groups, community groups, religious groups. I was saying before, like, you know, that whole idea of rest being presented, you know, rest is for the wicked. Rest is, I'm sure there's a one about rest is the devil's playmate, or maybe that's idleness. Anyway, there's a, clearly there's some religious things there to unpack, but I'll pop in the show notes a link to Values Layers, which is an episode I did just to kind of introduce that concept if that's something interesting, because our relationship and the values we relate to things through, including rest, is generally shaped by all of the different values that have been layered up in our exposure over our lifetimes. And they're things, you know, from our immediate kind of spaces to just the peripherals, they're often things we internalize. So, you know, we know as if you are a health professional or you work in the weight inclusive, you're aware of weight stigma and fat bias and things like that. There's values and things that we internalize, I think internalize is the right word, where we kind of take them on as our own, or we take them on without even an awareness that we've taken them on, and so we can have those same things around rest. So thinking about those values layers. So where we can start to question, or I'd offer up starting to question how you consider and conceptualize rest, how you relate to rest, what has to precede rest, or what, you know, if you do allow yourself to rest, and some people don't, and perhaps that's you, perhaps you wait until you're at complete burnout or complete exhaustion before you allowed yourself to rest, and the only possible type of rest is, you know, that physical, meeting that physical need. Perhaps rest has to be earned, or there's a belief or an idea. Perhaps you too were influenced by some of those religious ideas of rest being basically equated to being evil or bad or the devil. So there could be some stuff there. Thank you, religion. Not to be confused with faith, of course, and spirituality, but yes, thank you, organized religion. There can be the idea that rest, you know, rest allows us to be more productive, or rest allows us to be more creative, or you've got to rest so that you can do your best. I think there's like a meme that goes around, it's like, instead of considering did I work enough to rest, consider did I rest enough to do my best work or my life's work or my purposeful work or something like that, which I like the beginning of the sentiment to start thinking about rest as not something we have to earn. And I think we can go that step further, and that rest is of itself, you know, we talk about the process is the point, that rest in itself is the point, not necessarily an aid of something else, that meeting your human needs is the point. So that rest in itself. So we can get really curious about that. And I think of that they kind of correlate that idea of rest being in aid of something else as almost like that, you know, the capitalist value of extraction, that we do rest so we can extract from us more. And when we're earning it, it's like the capitalist value of exploitation, where we exploit ourselves, we extract from ourselves to then earn the rest. So those two values of extraction and exploitation often come in place with rest. So I would just, you know, think about the ways you consider rest, the ways you relate to rest, the ways you allow yourself or don't allow yourself to rest. What are the kind of thought processes, the scripts, the things you say around it? And what values do you see and feel in those? The other thing you can then do too is to look at your values, to grab your values list. And if you haven't done it, values list, then hop on that. You can find I've got a 3-part podcast series around finding your values. Again, I'll pop it in the show notes so you can go. So this episode obviously has a lot of rabbit holes you can go down, little tangents you can kind of follow. So knowing your values, and then when you've got those, to actually look at How would you relate to rest if you were grounded deeply in your values? What role would rest have? What space would you offer rest within your, you know, a deeply embedded values when you were deeply embedded in your values? Does the scripts, the ideas, the way you relate to rest now align with those values? Rest can be more than just that physical need for rest. Of course, we have that physiological requirement to rest, right? There's things that go in our body, processes that have to happen while our body's in rest. You know, when we don't rest enough, we can often get sick, our immune system drops down, our concentration. There's all those pieces of our physical functioning and health and, you know, state that can be influenced by rest, not enough or enough of rest. So there's physical rest. But there's also other types of rest, just like mental rest, emotional rest, social rest. There's this one, I think you can Google it. There's like seven types of rest. But yeah, creative rest, spiritual rest, sensory rest. So if you're somebody who is highly sensitive, particularly, but just, you know, as humans, you know, there's lots of sensory overload. So resting can rest around that. So there can be different types of rest we need. Sometimes it's not always needing physical rest, but we might need a rest from you know, pressures that rest from things that take a toll or have an impact on our emotional, mental, spiritual health, our well-being, so outside of just the physical. So if we think about rest being meeting many needs, then it also offers up different ways to rest, because rest isn't just sleeping and naps. As a member, official member, and perhaps founding member even, of the Nena Nap Club, I've liked my good nap. I love a good nap. I might even have a nap after I record this podcast, to be honest, if I get it all sorted before the kids get home from school. But we often think of rest as just being that, like you rest when you're tired, and when you are tired, you sleep or you nap or whatever it might be. But there are so many other ways to rest. So another way to rest is what I kind of call like gently active or just active rest, where you might do something, particularly if you need that mental rest, that is still active, where you're still moving your body, but it leaves you feeling rested, whether it's mental rest, emotional rest, or even physical rest. So an example of active rest for me, and I'll give you some examples that relate to me, and I would just encourage you to think about it through your own likes, dislikes, and lenses. But an active rest for me is yoga, like doing gentle yoga, particularly like a restorative type practice around yoga. Meditation can be a way to rest. That could also feel like the most unrestful thing to you. So I'm just giving an example. So what is something active? I love pottering in the garden. So sometimes if I feel like I need a rest, like I need to like just give my head a space to clear and that kind of mental rest, I don't necessarily need a nap. Sometimes I'll just do repetitive kind of like or small sort of tasks in the garden. So like it might just be deadheading flowers or just going and watering the garden. It's a really activity where I can kind of really rest my mind. And also physically, it's not a strain on my body. So that can be thing. I can get space and silence, so sensory rest. And that can be, that's a really nourishing, restful task for me. So things that where you're still moving your body, where you're not asleep or napping, but actually feel restful. Repetitive tasks can be great. So things where your mind can kind of have a little rest, and even your physical body. So another one, I'll give you my example. So sitting down and knitting, that's restful to me. I can kind of tune up, particularly I just do like a basic garter stitch and just rest. And I don't really have to think about it outside of, making sure I don't drop any stitches, but it's pretty restful. Again, that might feel like fully stressful and anxiety inducing for you. So that's not your restful task, but to just give you some examples of things. Being in nature, I find that really restful, whether it's just laying on the grass or just sitting on my deck, listening to bird sounds, whatever it might be. So connection to nature can feel really restful. Putting yourself in a low sensory environment. So if you are particularly sensitive, so obviously being in a low sensory environment or like a lower stimulation for your sensory needs environment, it can be a way you give yourself sensory rest, but it also just can be a way that you know, have less sensations, of course. So how can you think of ways or spaces like what is it? Like, you know, those when you're sometimes in an environment where you're not necessarily even doing anything, but you can feel the effort of staying engaged and present in that environment, or like not losing your shit in that environment. For me, it's like noisy spaces. And so that is tiring. So giving yourself or finding those spaces or ways to rest outside of that kind of thing, mindful meditative tasks, whatever they look like and feel like for you. Spaces where you can be held. So if we think about like almost like a figurative physical rest. So physical rest, what can feel really good is to lay like on your bed, right? Where you're being tied, you're on your feet and you sit down, and that physical feeling of being held, that release and that like a deep exhale that you feel from your body. And then sometimes if the rest you need is not necessarily physical, but it's those other types, emotional, spiritual, mental, or those other things, what are other ways that you are held? Perhaps it's in community or connection. Perhaps it's, you know, having a chat to a good friend or, you know, a family member or somebody that's super supportive, having a space of like mentorship or supervision or spaces like that where you can be held, and that can be a space to rest as well. So I suppose I just want to talk about a whole heap of examples there, not to tell you these are the things that you should find restful or that you should do when you need rest, but just to broaden that idea of what rest might look like. So there's different things, different types of rest we need, and then also different ways to rest. And sometimes it's also about just, you know, that nourishment that comes along. So rest is a rest is a human need, like a core human need and a physiological requirement for that need to restore and heal and regenerate. And so there's other ways we can meet it than just that physical. So definitely sleeping and napping, yes, naps for the win. And rest is more than that, and we often need other types of rest. Sometimes I find I can get a feeling of restlessness if I lay down to nap or meditate when that's not, when I need rest, but it wasn't that kind of physical rest. So if you've felt that and just sort of thought, oh yeah, it's not, I don't need rest, there's something else I need here, I just encourage you to broaden that idea of types of rest or ways to rest. So that was the main stuff that I want to talk to you about today, or talk around, is around, you know, rest being a human need, a physiological requirement, and that rest does not have to be earned, that rest does not have to be an aid. We don't have to run that capitalist value of extraction and exploitation towards, we don't have to run rest through that. But I would encourage you to get critical and get reflective around what values you relate to rest and act into or don't act into rest through. Where are the spaces to kind of anchor rest into your own values? And what, you know, to just get curious as you move through your day, as you move through your weeks, months, years, around what types of rest you might be needing. So if physical rest, yes, but what are the other types of rest? And what things, what activities beyond just sleeping and napping feel restful to you? What are the ways you can offer yourself rest for the different types of rest that you need? What are the other ways you can offer those to yourself and create and cultivate a practice of resting? Which sometimes we can work on how we relate to rest by, you know, that relationship piece. And sometimes we change how we relate to rest and the values we act into rest through by the actions, those daily actions, and all regular, it doesn't have to be daily, and doesn't have to be like consistent. Or when I say consistent regular, I don't mean it's like, you know, always at a specific interval, but just an ongoing practice of holding space for yourself, cultivating, carving out space to rest in whatever form. And perhaps there's even a bit of experimenting around what does in fact feel restful. You know, sometimes when I used to work with humans around their relationship with food, I would suggest to them to, you know, have a whole list of things to do for something, or a whole list of snacks, or a whole list of things, and work your way through it and kind of be like, okay, well, when it comes to rest, you might be like, okay, am I tired? So you might go sit down and just sort of see, am I feeling that that feels good, or do I feel a bit restless? Maybe I need another type of rest. So then you can go through like your list of what are the actions or activities that feel restful to you, and trying to have a suite of options, a menu that you can choose from and find the best fit for you in that moment, and allow that to be different for different moments, different seasons of life, depending on what's going on for you. So I'll leave you with that. Questions, comments, concerns, if I've missed anything or missed the mark, I'm always here to continue the conversation. And I'd love to hear about your reflections around rest, what comes up from this episode, and where you might be hoping to make some changes or adjustments around rest and how you relate to it. Okay, I'll leave you with that. Until next time, bye for now.
Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate you and the time you've given to me. If you like what you heard, please share it with your dietitian besties and subscribe on your platform of choice. Want more like this? Come follow along and continue the convo on Instagram, where I hang out at Dietitian Values. I'm so grateful for you and the opportunity to connect. Have a good one. Catch you next time on the Dietitian Values podcast. The Dietitian Values podcast is recorded on the unceded lands of the Ngambri and Ngunnawal people. I pay my respects to the elders past, present, and emerging.